Support for Kansas City Today comes from Grandma's Office Catering, delivering made-from-scratch hot meals and individual boxed lunches for fast distribution to offices, warehouses, and factories, even on nights and weekends. Details are at grandmascatering.com.
This is Kansas City Today. I'm Nomi Inugia-Dean. Today is Monday, April 22nd. Coming up, we'll check in with two local voters about the state of political discourse in America.
People that I've talked to that didn't share my political view, they think I'm hateful. Just because I don't agree with you doesn't mean I hate you or your views.
We'll hear how they're navigating this year's election cycle and shifting their views. But first, some headlines. Democratic Kansas Governor Laura Kelly has vetoed a bill that would send tax money to anti-abortion counseling centers. Rose Conlin of the Kansas News Service reports Republicans are expected to try to override the veto this week.
The centers provide free baby supplies and other resources to people with unplanned pregnancies, but they've also been criticized for using misleading tactics to dissuade people from getting abortions. Kansas already gives $2 million to the centers, but the bill would direct up to $10 million per year to the centers through a tax credit and give them additional tax breaks. Kelly, a Democrat, said the bill goes against the wishes of Kansans who in 2022 voted to protect abortion rights. Anti-abortion advocates said her veto was heartless and extreme.
The Kansas Supreme Court has struck down the suspension of a woman's driver's license for failing a breath alcohol test when her car was stuck in mud. Dylan Lyson of the Kansas News Service reports.
Shayna Jarmer was arrested for DUI in Sumner County in 2021 when police found her and her husband trying to move their car out of a muddy ditch. Her husband had reportedly wrecked the car. Jarmer was in the front seat and pressing the gas pedal. The tires were spinning, but the vehicle was not moving. Jarmer's blood alcohol level was nearly twice the legal limit. But the court ruled Jarmer did not violate state law for DUIs because its language requires the vehicle to be in motion.
Children's Mercy Hospital has fired its vice president and physician-in-chief over claims he made inappropriate comments that violated hospital policy. KCUR's Noah Taborda reports.
Children's Mercy launched an investigation into Robert Lane after they were informed of statements he made to other hospital employees. In an internal email, Children's Mercy said the comments conflicted with the hospital's mission and were sufficiently serious as to terminate Lane's employment. In a statement to KCUR, Children's Mercy leaders said they could not comment on personnel issues, but that they, quote, are committed to a work environment that upholds their values and standards of behavior. Douglas Rivard, the medical chairman of radiology for over a decade, will take on the role in the interim.
Two residents of St. Joseph who were involved in the January 6th insurrection were sentenced on Friday. KCUR's Salisa Kalakal has more.
Kimberly and Stephen Dragoo will each serve 14 days in jail for a misdemeanor offense related to their involvement in the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. Both were charged with entering and remaining in a restricted building or grounds, disorderly or disruptive conduct in a restricted building, grounds, or Capitol building, and parading, demonstrating, or picketing in the Capitol building. Kimberly and Steve both pleaded guilty to one charge. Kimberly Dragoo ran for a seat on the St. Joseph School Board in April, but lost.
We'll be back after this.
You listen to Kansas City Today every day because we're your local, reliable news source. You take us seriously. But now it's time to have some fun. Join us at our annual benefit, Radioactive, on June 14th. NPR's All Things Considered host Ari Shapiro is the featured guest at this party, and it's gonna be bumpin'. You gotta be there. Sponsorship packages and ticket information are available at kcur.org/radioactive.
KCUR recently reconvened the politically diverse members of our 2022 election initiative called Your Voice. What you're about to hear is a piece of a conversation between two alumni of the initiative, Mark Salas and Teresa Sahar. They discuss how they arrived at opposing viewpoints and their concerns with political polarization in the upcoming election with KCUR's community engagement producer, Zach Perez.
And my wife, I've got a Green Acres situation on my hands. My wife's like towing. And she said, I'll move out there. She said, we can't have chickens. I'm like, what do you got against chickens?
Let me tell you, chickens are a lot easier than bees.
Don't
do bees. My name is Teresa Sahara, and I live in Olathe on a five-acre farm, and I'm in guest services, and this is kind of my second career serving the public.
Okay, my name is Mark Solis. I live in Leavenworth, Kansas. I'm a retired Army officer. Currently, I'm an educator, and that's about it.
How much do you guys know about each other?
I don't know that much about you, and I don't think you know that much about me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think you're a pretty level-headed person, so, I mean, just listening to you talk in the forum.
Thank you.
Talk a little bit about what your family and your, I suppose, quality of life was like growing up.
Well, I was raised by a divorced mother. There were five of us. Very devout Catholic woman. Sometimes divorce is really necessary, and in this case it was. This was back in the 1970s when you really couldn't get a lot of support, including child support, so we worked while we went to school, took advantage of some government programs in order to make it as you know, in a family of a single mom with five children. And then I managed to get a scholarship to KU, graduated with a journalism degree, and life's been great ever since.
So I am the son of an Air Force officer. My father's from New Mexico. He, you know, went into the Air Force. He met my mother when he was stationed up in Michigan. My mother's from Detroit. Grew up, we had six kids in my family, Catholic family also. My dad graduated when I was in fifth grade and bought a ranch in southeastern Oklahoma. So from fifth grade till 12th grade in high school, I grew up on a ranch. That was kind of I would call that my formative years. I did very well in school. And even though I went to a very small country school with 25 kids in my graduating class, I applied for and got accepted into the United States Military Academy at West Point. And so then I went and spent 4 years at West Point in New York. And that was just a great exposure to people from all walks of life and, you know, easy access to New York City. So it was just a great opportunity.
I noticed in the conversations that we had that both of you, I think it's fair to say, are white presenting. You look like white people, but you both have Hispanic roots from one of your parents. And I just wanted to ask if that at any point in your childhood, do you feel like that's influenced either of you at all?
Yes, definitely. When I was a child, we lived for a while in Mississippi, and that really gave me a window into what life is like for people who have skin that's darker than mine. My skin is fairly light, but I have some aunts who would come and visit us in Mississippi, and they were not allowed in the restaurants in the 1960s, and that's something that they speak about to this day.
Yeah, so I didn't, in the Air Force, no cognizance of it. When we moved to a little small town in southeastern Oklahoma, I suddenly found out I was a Mexican, and I didn't know I was a Mexican before that. I was just Mark Solis. And I would say there was probably some discrimination up front, but very quickly people just got to know me. I do remember, you know, my dad, because both my parents speak Spanish, but my dad, he would interpret. When we started getting Mexican workers in the area, my dad would interpret for the workers and their employers. We always would go back and visit New Mexico. So I felt really plugged into my New Mexican family. I joke today, I had a bowl of homemade pozole, but I used hominy out of a can, and my aunties would not appreciate that.
As you were growing up, how big of a role did politics take up in the relationship you had with your parents or other adults? How much did they talk to you about politics?
Oh, we didn't have any relationship with politics. We were just trying to survive. So there was no talk about politics. I'm not even sure my mother voted. She was just trying to become a nurse and raise five children on her own. So my political thinking didn't start until I had my own family.
I would say probably the same. I don't really know what my mother was politically. I assume my dad was probably a Republican. I do know he voted for Barack Obama twice, but back in the day, I don't think politics was really something families really talked about much. Maybe it was before the age of 24/7 media. I don't know. It just didn't seem like that big a deal.
I think the parties were also a little closer together than they are now. They're pretty far apart now, in my opinion.
So I know we've just talked a little bit about your past, but are there any specific events or maybe like a series of life experiences that you could point to as like the reason you've developed the political beliefs that you have at this point?
Yes. You know, growing up with a single mom and no child support, we were supported by a couple of different really loosely based and not very strong safety net programs in the government. The Pell Grant assisted me in going to college. I usually look at what candidate I think is going to help people that are similar to the way I came up and to people who are facing similar struggles to what I faced as a young person.
I think growing up in the country, we didn't get much. We had to kind of work for everything. So I think that was kind of a start point. And then I think 4 years in college and being around New York City at that point, I said to myself, as the murder rate was creeping up, I just said, something is not right. And the way that they're running this city is not right. The only thing I ever paid attention to local politics wise was kind of like, you know, law enforcement and crime and punishment. And so I think that kind of made me more conservative.
Is there anything that you've noticed that people who don't hold your specific beliefs misunderstand about you?
People that I've spoken with, particularly people that I'm related to, we're just so far apart that I don't think there's a lot of understanding at all or an attempt to understand.
Yeah, I would say the people that I've talked to that didn't share my political view, they think I'm hateful for some reason. Just because I don't agree with you doesn't mean I hate you or your views. I don't understand that.
I just really think that the Republican Party has gone so far to the right, not all of them, but, you know, and particularly Trump supporters. It's a religion, and you really can't challenge someone's belief system.
Yeah, I would say I agree that the MAGA wing of the Republican Party has become a religion to the point that Donald Trump is selling Bibles now. When I heard that, I could not believe it. On the flip side, I would say that the progressive wing of the Democratic Party has become a cult, and that brooks no opposition. They just say the most fantastical things that I can't agree with, kind of to the extreme left.
Is there any questions that you have for each other?
One thing that Teresa said that really kind of struck home with me is she talked about working in her community and how they have had a blue wave in Johnson County. And it made me realize how unplugged I am from local politics. And I probably should be paying more attention to things. I don't know. I just feel like I need to be involved more.
Yeah, I really enjoy being involved in local politics, and I feel like that's another civic duty that you have if you have the time and the ability to just participate in some way, because we're the people who make the community better and shape the lives of our community, and that really was brought home to me during COVID, and that really was a wake-up call for me to participate even more, which is what I'm doing now.
That was Mark Salas and Teresa Sahar, two alumni of KCUR's Your Voice initiative. They spoke with KCUR's community engagement producer, Zach Perez. This is Kansas City Today. I'm Nomi Inugiadeen. This podcast is produced by David McKeel and KCUR Studios. It's edited by CJ Janovi, Madeline Fox, and Gabe Rosenberg. For more local news from Kansas City's NPR station, visit kcur.org. If you like our show, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast app. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
Hollywood writers are obsessed with the concept of an asteroid heading towards Earth and destroying civilization. But is this something we really should be worried about? I'm Kate the Chemist, and on my podcast, Seeking a Scientist, we meet the mastermind behind a real-life mission to divert the path of an asteroid. Subscribe to Seeking a Scientist, made possible by the Starris Institute.